Isaiah chapter 36. We didn't get finished with the chapter. We got about halfway through. And let me just very, very, very quickly just bring out a couple of things that we looked at. Hezekiah, who was king at this time, faced three crises in a short period of time, an international crisis. And this is from Wiersbe's commentary on Isaiah. International crisis, the Assyrian army, of course, had invaded Judah. They were close to Jerusalem at this point, and that's the setting of this particular chapter. Then, of course, he faced a personal crisis where he got sick, and he prayed, and God gave him 15 more years, and the sad thing about that is that's when Manasseh was born, who was a wicked, godless king. And then later, a national crisis, a visit from the Babylonian envoys. That's not dealt with in this chapter, but that's part of this section. He did all right with the international crisis and the personal crisis, but he didn't do so well with the Babylonian envoys, and we'll see that when we get there. And then we, of course, answered the question, how well do we handle our tests? Because we all face tests. And God doesn't allow us to go through tests to hurt us or to cause us great pain, but instead he wants us to draw near to him and trust him more. And Judah had trust issues, trusting everything and everyone but God himself. Maybe some would ask the question, didn't God see what Hezekiah and the people had done? But again, the Assyrian invasion was allowed by God to teach Judah to trust him. Hezekiah had to learn this because at first he put his trust in treaties and treasures. We looked at 2 Kings 18 and read about that. But soon he found out the enemy did not only not keep their word, but even though they didn't keep their word, they kept the wealth, okay? They kept the money, didn't keep the bargain. Let me move on. Judah had been devastated. Now the Assyrian army was in Lachish, 30 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And 2 Kings 18:17, we saw that last week, states that Sennacherib, who was the king of Assyria at this time, sent three of his most important officers to get Hezekiah to surrender the city of Jerusalem. We talked about Tartan, not Tarzan. Totally different figure for a different time. But Tartan, supreme commander, Rabsaris was the chief officer, and then Rabshiki, which sounds like a funky way to pronounce it, but that's how it's broken down in my ancient Bible. Rabshiki, he was the field commander. Remember, these are not names but titles. Rabsaris, Rabshiki, and Tartan. And then the three men that were sent by Sennacherib were met by three of Judah's leading officers, Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah. And I mentioned they met at the exact place that Isaiah had confronted Hezekiah's father Ahaz some 30 years earlier. And Ahaz was warned by Isaiah, but it didn't make any difference. He made a treaty with Assyria. And it worked really well because now here we are 30 years later and Hezekiah is faced with a proposition, either surrender or suffer great pains. So the treaty didn't work, but of course God had a better plan, didn't he? God had a much better plan. All right, so that's about where we left off. And if you recall, Rabshiki attacked their strategy. We're going to go ahead and read, or I'll have you read. We're going to start with verse 9. So someone read 9 through 14, and then someone else, if you would read 15 through 22. 9 through 14. Volunteer? George, you... He never raises his hand. He just looks at me and grins. And I'm... All right, 9 through 14, and then 15 through 22. All right, Scott, you can stop yawning. I put you to sleep already, huh? Normally it takes you at least 15 minutes. All right, go ahead. This is chapter 36, by the way, in Isaiah.
How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captive, the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? And I am now come up without the Lord against this land and destroy it. The Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. And then said Eliakim and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh.
Yeah, I know it's weird.
Speak, I pray thee, unto thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and speak not to us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. But Rabshakeh said, hath my master sent me to thy master, and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall, they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language, and said, hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you.
Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and eat ye every one of his vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his own cistern. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered this land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh.
All right, thank you, too. So Rabshakeh attacked their strategy. They had turned to Egypt, which was a broken reed. If you look back with me to chapter 30, and this will refresh your memory because Isaiah had dealt with them over this issue. What are the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin? They walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. And they were all ashamed of a people that could not profit or benefit them, nor be help nor profit, but a shame, also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, their treasures upon the bunches or the humps of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still or to sit idle. And then chapter 31, verses 1 through 3. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil, will not call back his words. He will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God. their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping or helped shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. So there you go. There was warning about turning to Egypt, but it didn't trust him. Couldn't trust God. According to Rav Shiki, he said, hey, you can't trust God. Because Hezekiah had offended God by removing all the high places, removing all the altars. Remember, he cleaned house. A lot of kings had reformations, but they didn't remove the high places. The places where worship was not intended to be. He brought everything back to Jerusalem. And so that's what Rav Shiki said. You can't trust God. He's messed that up for you, man. God's offended. And then also he said, as he continued to attack their strategy, there's really no help for you people, either in heaven or on earth. You are basically done. There's no one you can call on. Ain't nobody going to help you. It's over. But then Rav Shiki didn't stop there. He began to attack their military resources. Hold your place here. Don't lose it, okay? Because we're coming right back. Second Chronicles. Chapter 32. Second Chronicles 32. Remember, Kings and Chronicles fill in a whole lot of gaps in Isaiah's prophecy. And so in chapter 32, if someone would be so gracious as to read, I'm going to go ahead and say verses 1 through 8. Volunteer, 1 through 8. Anybody? Going once? Going twice? Sold! Anybody? Miss Betty? Go ahead. 32, 2 through 8.
2 through
8? Yep. No, go do one. Go ahead and do one. I have two written down, but why not start with verse 1?
After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city. And they did help him. So there was gathered much people together, who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers. And another wall was out and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. The people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah.
All right, I love verse 8. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and fight our battles. Well, that's what Rav Shiki is attacking. The fortified Jerusalem, he laughed at Judah's military prowess. He said, are you serious? You really think that you guys have a chance? Really? He said, Jerusalem, not only do you lack chariots and horses to attack us, but you lack men. The Jewish men were too weak, he said, for the Assyrians. Even if the Assyrians would provide the equipment, still they were so weak. Even all the chariots and horsemen of Egypt couldn't defeat Sennacherib's great forces. And in going back to I'm just going to slip back here real quick. You can stay where you're at. But in chapter 30, further in that chapter, talking about Isaiah now, verses 15 through 17. For thus saith the Lord, the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, no, we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. So they were trusting Egypt's horses and not the Lord. No horse could deliver from God-appointed oppressors. Was there any horse or chariot could do that? No. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke or the threat of one. At the rebuke or threat of five shall ye flee till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, literally a pole, be like a tree stripped of its branches, and as an ensign or a banner on a hill. So again, plenty of warning, did not take heed. So again, Rabshakeh attacked their strategy, attacked their military resources. Then look back at verse 10. And am I now come up without the Lord against this land? So now he's claiming that God's on his side. Really? I don't think so. But that's what he said. Verse 10. And am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me. Now he's actually hearing from God. Wow. What do you think of that? Go up against this land and destroy it. So he claimed God's authority. And what he was looking for was surrender. He wanted the people to be afraid. Remember, they were up on the wall. The walls they were actually a double wall. They were fortified by Hezekiah. People lived on top of those walls. And they were listening as the three men from Judah were speaking to the three men from Assyria. And, of course, as we mentioned last week, Rabshakeh was speaking in speaking in Hebrew, and the men from Hezekiah said, hey, could you do us a favor? Could you speak in Aramaic? Because people don't understand Aramaic. So speak in Aramaic, because you're going to upset them. Like Rabshakeh really cared, you know, whether he's upset or not. He said, I don't think so. I'm going to speak in Hebrew. So he claimed that all that he did was the will of God. Well, then how could Judah fight against her own God? If God had sanctioned this thing, as Rabshakeh said, then no nation would be able to win against Assyria if God was behind it. But unfortunately, Assyria, of course, had not heard from the Lord. He was lying like a dog. And if a nation is going to use God as their excuse, and God's not behind it, doesn't fare well for him, does it? But then he went on in verses 13 through 20 of saying, well, how can you trust your king? I mean, Sennacherib, look at Sennacherib. What a great and mighty king. I mean, this guy is top notch. And, of course, when he would talk about Hezekiah, he didn't put any kind of title of honor or anything. He talked like Hezekiah was just one of the boys. He was nothing to write home about. He's just a regular old king. Nobody is like Sennacherib. As a matter of fact, Hezekiah was such a bad person and a bad king, he was guilty, according to Rabshakeh, of deceiving the people. So he encourages them to, because they're gonna starve to death sitting in Jerusalem. All the farmland and the crops and the orchards were destroyed. Everything was a mess. And they were basically locked down in Jerusalem. Well, how long would the food last? So he said, hey, you come with us. You know, we got food like you used to have here. We got orchards. We got farm. We got cattle. Nothing like a good chunk of beef. So all you got to do is surrender and come with us. And remember, Assyria often did take captives And if they didn't put them in their land, they put them in some other land, but I don't think they took care of them. Another teeny weeny little lie here, right? So, verse 16. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present. He wanted some buckos. You know, give me some cash. We can fix you up. Come out to me and eat ye every one of his vine, every one of his fig tree. Drink ye every one the waters of his own cistern. And literally, make an agreement with me by a present would be translated, make a blessing with me. Make a blessing with me. Really? Yeah. Make a covenant with Assyria by surrendering. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land. It's not any different. You got corn, you got wine, you got bread, you got vineyards. I mean, you know, we're not going to make you starve. You can starve where you're at. You're not going to last long here now. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Which we just read that, didn't we? In 2 Chronicles. He said, Sennacherib, all he's got is the arm of flesh. We have the Lord. I like that. So he goes on to say, by the way, look at the lands that we have already devastated, the lands we've taken over. How'd their gods fare? Their gods help them at all? Well, if their gods didn't help them, then how do you think your God is going to help you? So Rabshakeh thought that the Lord was just one of many gods that were worshipped by many different nations. In Isaiah 10 and verses 8 through 11. For he saith, are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Cano and Carchemish? Is not Hamath as Arpad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? As my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them out of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall not I, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? So again, there have been warnings, but to no avail. Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? What about Samaria? Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? And then, of course, they didn't say anything because Hezekiah said, don't answer them. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. And obviously, they rent their clothes, shocked and grieved over the blasphemy of this Assyrian. So, both Isaiah and Hezekiah told the people, trust God. Just trust God. That's good advice, isn't it? I mean, who do we have to turn to in this? I mean, our nation is unraveling by the day. I mean, it gets worse and worse. The whole world's not in very good shape, is it? I mean, the southern border is a wide open, I mean, just swing the gates wide open. They're pouring in, I mean, pouring in like crazy. Who knows how many are infected with the virus? Who knows how many are terrorists? We don't know how many are murderers and rapists. I mean, that thing was under control. And there's multiplied thousands of people that are pouring over the border. And then you don't hear the truth. Media doesn't tell the truth about it. White House doesn't tell the truth about it. Now they're wanting to spy. You know, the banks are supposed to let the IRS know if there's a transaction of $10,000 or more because of drug, you know, laundering money.
It's in cash, just
now $600 they're talking about. True.
We had a former friend of ours got in trouble over that.
I might have a friend that has $10. I don't think I have any friends that have that much money. You know, I live in a trailer. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's looking at me like, "Check out do that." I don't know. I mean, it's 20 days. It's late for an elderly person. You know what I'm saying? My mind just. Not fresh and crisp like it normally is. Billy Joe's looking at me
does
like, is he for real? Do what?
Does the morning make any difference?
No. No. Not at this point. No, it doesn't. No. Yeah. I have to wake up in the morning. So Rabshakeh had reminded the people that the gods of other nations had failed to protect them, and Hezekiah knew why. Look at chapter 37, again, verses 18 and 19. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying the Lord will deliver us. And that's exactly what Hezekiah said. And that's exactly what God was going to do. As you know the rest of the story, we'll see it. I think it was just one angel that wiped out 185,000, wasn't it? Yeah. 185,000 in one night, Assyrians, gone. Permanently put to sleep. Samaria was defeated, and they worshiped the same God as Judah. To Rabshakeh, Jehovah was just another God, and Sennacherib didn't have to worry about him because, hey, no biggie. Just another God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we are reminded that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And it's very easy to get into the sight mode, isn't it? Especially when you see things unraveling like there are in our nation. And we begin to, if we're not careful, we can start to worry about it. Is it going to do any good to worry about it? I mean, eventually there'll be another president. And the way the nation's going, doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat, we are still going further and further from God. Now, that got interrupted a little bit. Trump, I don't think he's a born-again believer, but he does respect God, at least outwardly, politically, and didn't do anything to hurt Christians. But Biden would do anything to get a vote. Matter of fact, he might even cheat to get an election. Who knows? I mean, I'm not accusing those of you that are listening to this recording. I'm just saying, it could happen. Those in Jerusalem weren't living by faith, probably were intrigued by what they were hearing. That food sounds pretty good. Yeah. But God had promised deliverance. And the word up for the first lesson in club, I think God's word is true. Isn't that the first word up? You guys remember from last? I mean, you're young. You should remember. It's all right here. No? You don't remember? But I'm pretty sure that the word up in the first lesson is his word. God's word is true. Yeah. Yeah, it is in there. But anyway, Hezekiah knew God was a God of his word. Questions or comments? We're very early, but that's all I got. Sorry. I've been late the last couple of times, didn't get out of here till after 8, so today you get an early dismissal, and I expect to get some bonus points for that.
Hey, when it was saying, you know how like Hezekiah was fortifying the walls, building another wall and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah.
How long would it take them to build a wall? I mean, to me, that's something that would take years.
If you had a lot of people working on it.
He just threw a massive wall.
52 days.
That's right.
How far did
we
get?
Pardon me?
How far did we get?
Yeah, look at that.
If you come to my Sunday school,
you can't live on top of that wall. It's kind of pointy.
The
Do what now? I'm sorry.
Teamwork.
Yeah. I was just telling you this lesson on Wednesday night about Nehemiah and the Jews rebuilding the walls in 2 days.
Many hands make short work. Do what?
Came with a map and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did.
Exactly. And not only that, but he was Nehemiah and the group were the nation or the city were building the wall, and they had Sanballat and Tobiah and so they could only work with one hand.
What really helped us is they designated a group to stand over to the side and say, "Build that wall, build that wall."
That's right.
That's funny.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, any other questions or comments? All right, let's stand together for a word of prayer and be dismissed. Bill, would you pray, please?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time we can come and study your word, the words of Isaiah. Lord, we just pray now that we would take those words to heart, that we would continue to walk by faith, not by sight, even though it's a difficult thing for us, Lord, as humans. But Lord, we know that if we put our faith and trust in you, that you will never disappoint us. But we need to understand that there are things we'll go through, like we're going through now in our own country, but we're to keep our eyes on you and not what's going on around us.
That's right.
Because you are in complete control, and we trust you implicitly with everything in our lives. We just thank you again for your word and just pray that you'll give us safe travel home and bring us back again at the next appointed time. We ask and give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Be safe. If you haven't signed up for the meal Sunday and you'd like to sign up, last call. Last call.
Any more butternut?
She made soup. Yeah. She actually used it to make pasta sauce.
Really?
It was really good.
Oh,
yeah.
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 Yeah.